Good morning. Welcome to our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Talking and praying this week about living a rich life and what God says that looks like, and a little bit of comparison to how the world says that ought to look. And so today we're going to focus in specifically on being rich toward God. And it was kind of the theme, heart of the message I shared this past Sunday here at Deer Run, and a rich life. And those four characteristics was a righteous life, an instructed life, a compassionate life, and a humble life. And when we exhibit those characteristics, we learn more and more what it looks like to be rich toward God. The text that this kind of all centered around and worked its way out of was a story Jesus told of a man whose crops produced an abundant harvest. His work was very successful, and yet he failed to realize, I think, why it was successful. In fact, I believe he credited himself with the success that he experienced. But whatever was going through his mind, what we do know is that he chose to tear down his barns and build new ones, bigger ones, because what he had would not hold all that he had produced. Now, that tends to tell me that he had adequate storage capacity for a regular, normal year. Growing up on a farm, we had times where we would find creative ways to store grain until it could be sold. But most of the time, the storage capacity that our barns and corn cribs and things had was adequate. They were built for the size of the farm. And so he would have had enough for a regular life, but rather than keeping what he had and adding additional storage, he started completely over. He tore down his barns and built newer ones. And then he says to himself, "Oh, this is great. I have everything that I need. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry." And you know, it sounds like a really good American plan. It sounds like a really good American plan until we hear God's response, and then it ought to sound like a really bad plan. And yet we continue to do it. God's response was, "You fool. Tonight your very soul will be required of you, and then who will benefit from all that you have stored up?" And Jesus tells this story. And so that we don't miss the point, he concludes the story with the verse that we read earlier. "And this is how it will be with anyone who stores up for himself and is not rich toward God." I mentioned briefly, at least Sunday, that this isn't about storing up for yourself. God's not saying in this verse not to do that. He's talking about greed. He's talking about not acknowledging God's provision, not acknowledging God's production in our life. He's talking about this overindulgent culture that says, even though I have enough, I have to have more. And we can argue all day about what enough is. But our very nature tends to say it's more than what I have. And so we have to look, I believe, as God's people, as His children, we have to look at what it really means to be rich toward God. It is about our stuff and it isn't about our stuff. It's not that God is in want, that there's things that He can't do because we've withheld from Him our possessions. But there's things He can't do in our life because we've withheld from Him. But it's not a limit of His power, it's a limit of our obedience and our willingness to be formed into the image of Christ. And so being rich toward God isn't a matter of simply giving away everything. We could do that without being rich toward God at all. There's a lot of reasons that we might do that. Some good, some, well, as you read in the book of Acts, some kind of design to promote ourselves. And with Ananias and Sapphira, that did not work out so well. And so being rich toward God, it becomes an attitude in our mind that says, what I have belongs to God, what I have came from God, what I have will be used to benefit His kingdom. He goes on in Luke chapter 12 and talks about, don't you know that the birds of the air go about their life and God provides what they need? The lilies of the field grow up and are clothed with more splendor than even Solomon had, and yet one day they're growing and the next they're burnt up in a fire. How much more valuable are you, His children? And being rich toward God is a recognition that, yes, we have needs. And yes, God enables us to, many of us, He enables to work, to produce a crop, whether that crop is corn or soybeans or beef or it's a crop of lawnmowers that we get paid to assemble. It's a crop of students that we get paid to teach. It's a crop of food that we get paid to cook or to serve to someone. The crops that we produce with the abilities and talents and strength that God gives us may look rather different from what we would typically consider to be a crop, but they are a crop nonetheless. I think sometimes it's easy to look in Scripture, and because of the agricultural society that it was based on, to lose sight of it. It still applies to us. What this man produced was done so by the goodness of God. What you and I produce is done so by the goodness of God. And there are times we get a raise and, well, things cost more and we need that raise. Just to stay even, just to stay up with our expenses and bills. But there are other times we may get a raise that it's just extra. And those, I think, sometimes become the test. How rich am I toward God? What is my thought about what I ought to do? Being rich toward God isn't always, and it isn't simply about giving more money to the church. I know as the preacher, some would say that's where I'm going with this, and That's between you and God. God makes that clear. His expectation is that we give generously. We give from the heart. We give proportionally to our income, but being rich toward God is deeper than that. The giving that we do specifically to the church is an overflow of being rich toward God. Being rich toward God is how we think. And when we consider our relationship with people, we consider those that we are rich toward. Some we may be able to give great gifts. And that's a way that we express this feeling of richness towards them. But my wife and I celebrated 42 years of marriage this year. When this journey began, I believe that to our limited knowledge at 18 years of age, we were rich toward one another, but I can guarantee you that it did not center around possessions. Those were pretty few and far between, those early years. But it centered around our care, our compassion, our desire to be with one another. And when we learn what it looks like to be rich toward God, it centers around the heart, so that by the end of this teaching that Jesus is doing, that's a continual teaching, he says that where your treasure is, your heart will be also, or where your heart is, your treasure will follow. That's what it looks like to be rich toward God. Our heart is with Him. And it's our desire to do what pleases Him, to do what honors Him, to do what builds up His kingdom. And sometimes that's helping the local church. Sometimes that's helping a missionary. Sometimes that's being generous with a random stranger that God's Spirit convicts you to help. Sometimes it's often meeting the needs of your family. When the early church began to grow and was under great persecution and many had incredible needs, the church was doing what it could to meet the needs of particularly the widows and orphans. James would say that's what pure religion looks like. But he would say to not expect the church to do that if the family hasn't made their attempt. That if you're not taking care of your own family, he says you're worse than an infidel or a pagan or one that doesn't even believe in God. You see, being rich toward God is about how we treat people. How we treat those closest to us, how we treat those we don't know all that well, how we treat the stranger. It's about our heart and how we pursue God. Today, as we live life, I believe it's important to examine, is my life focused on storing up for myself? Or is it focused on being rich toward God? Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. We know what it looks like to be rich toward you because we've seen it exhibited in the teaching and stories we have about your Son, who humbled himself, who came to earth to serve and to love, to show compassion, to have mercy, to give whatever you ask, to give himself. And Father, as we live life and we consider what you've produced in our life, May we begin by acknowledging that every good and gift that we have comes from you. The gifts of our possessions, the gifts of the work that we do to produce that crop, the gifts of your Spirit that help us to be more kingdom-minded, are all from you. And Father, sometimes we look at those things that are produced in our life and by our life, and, well, the world teaches us they belong to us. And you continually call out and remind us to be rich toward you. Not to ignore our own needs necessarily, although you do call us to sacrifice. Not to ignore the needs of our family, the needs of those around us. But to first and foremost set our heart on being rich toward you and allowing our treasure to follow that. And Father, we treasure many things, and in our American culture, stuff seems to be high on that list of what we treasure. But we also treasure freedom, we treasure relationship, we treasure this and we treasure that. And may we be mindful of every one of those things in this examination of how rich we are toward you. And so God, today help us to not be a rich fool who becomes convinced that it's all about us. But may we be a humble servant who is rich toward you in such a way that our life continually lifts up Jesus, so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.